Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Blessing to be sharing with you, not just those of you who are here in the sanctuary, but also those of you who are tuning in on iChurch. We're going out in English and in Spanish. And we don't acknowledge him as much as we should, which should be every week, but we thank Alex Jancic for being our interpreter every Sunday. Hallelujah. He's behind the glass. Hallelujah. It's appropriate that I'm satisfied with what we've done this year. We acknowledge the Hebrew New Year, which came in, Yom Kippur, which came in a couple months ago. And it set the tone for us really getting a mindset to change. There's some things that we need to change. Tell your neighbor, change is good. If it's the right change, it's good. But, you know, if it's the right change. You know, people try to change us, and they have their reasons. But I'm not changing for people. I'm changing for the Most High God. He has some stuff that he needs me to do. He has some things that he wants to bring to the forefront that I can say, you know what? Yes, you're right. I need to change that. I need to do something different. And so we got that when we start talking about the Hebrew New Year, which was talking about really searching inside ourselves, right? And so now we're on the Gregorian calendar or the regular calendar that's taking us into the new year. But guess what? You guys got a head start on getting your life together by 2018. You got a head start. Some people are not thinking about doing anything different until January. But we've already have started that process. And listen, it's about building. And so we want to we want to build the things up that we never really built before. And then some of the stuff that we build wrong, we need to tear that down and we need to rebuild it. But we want to rebuild it right. I remember I'm kind of a Lucy fan. Any Lucy fans out there? I still laugh at that stuff. It's still hilarious to me. But there was one episode where I believe Ricky and Fred had built a barbecue. And Lucy thought that her ring was... They built a beautiful brick barbecue. I mean, do we even do that anymore, or we just use the kettle? Use a barrel now, right? The barrel is supposed to be the thing, but used to be, you'd had a brick barbecue, and so it was beautiful. She thought her ring was in the cement, so her and Ethel tore down that barbecue pit. And one of the funniest things I remember was that when they came, like, the next day, and you saw how jacked up that barbecue pit was because they put it together the way they thought it needed to be. The grill was all slanted. Like, the grill was like this, and then by the time they finished it, bricks was all hanging over. But that's what happens when you try to rebuild your own life. You tear it up. And you might get something that looks something, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. So who is glad that we serve a God that cares enough about the details so that we can get it right? And if we have to tear it down, we can rebuild the right way. So I am thankful for that. And so that is what we want. We want to do it the right way. And so let's go to Ephesians really quickly. Our wellspring scripture that we're on, the second chapter. I'm going to use the time that I have. You know, second Sundays are a little, slightly longer because we have our youth scene, but it's okay. We're making up the time. We're reclaiming our time, reclaiming our time. All right. So Ephesians, the second chapter, the 10th verse. And it goes like this. But before we do that, do you know who you are? Because that's part of the change. You know, we got to know who we are and what we have access to, right? And so the scripture says, for we are his. That means he made us, right? Now, some of us were rough around the edges. Where are my rough folk at? Okay, there. Be rough. And so through the transformation process, meaning we received that baptism in his name, ooh, and we received his power and spirit dwelling within, there was a transformation that took place. And I need to remind you, again, I'm putting in a plug for this new creature that Apostle has written about, because we've talked about this, but he's really expanding it. And showing that we are new. We are new creatures. When we receive the Holy Spirit within, we have completely been what? Transformed. And we have a brand new lineage. We have a Father who is the Most High God. Right? And so there should be something substantial that takes place in our life. People should be able to look at us and say, ooh, there's something different about that brother, or there's something different about that sister. And so when we realize that we are billboards for the kingdom, so when we go out there, we're representing his workmanship, right? I mean, how many of y'all really tell people that you go to church, you are a believer, it should be all of you, I don't know. We representing. You're either representing the kingdom or you're representing the other kingdom. Right? But he says we are his workmanship. That means there's a belonging. There's a possessive nature to this. Say, I belong to God. I belong to him. And the beauty is that us using the true names, us using the name Yahweh, God's name. There's a lot of gods out there. But when you look at the nature of the name of the Most High God, the only God, the one that created the universe and everything else, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the YHVH, and the nature of that is Yahweh, means I will be what I will be. I will be where I will be. I will be whatever I will be. You serve a God that is, say, everything. Everything. He's everything. And that nature is expressed in his name. So that's why we use these true names, because it brings out the nature of who he really what is. We use the name Yeshua instead of Jesus, because the name Jesus didn't come to 1611. So what were they calling him 2,000 years ago when 1611 was much a shorter time than that? They were calling him Yeshua. You know what got me? You know, I know Apostle brought this out with us years ago. What got me was We're like, well, we're going to use the name, we're going to use it exclusively. And I was like, but I was using Jesus forever. I mean, I was brought up Jesus, 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 Jesus. And when that knowledge came, there was a resistance. Because I'm like, the Bible say Jesus, I'm going to call him Jesus. But it wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew and translated. But you don't have to translate a name. You translate a word, but you don't have to translate a name. Right? Because otherwise, if you're changing my name, I might not answer to it. Somebody called me Tony last week. Yeah, Tony, yeah, your car is ready to, you know, we fixed the tire or whatever. And I was like, you know what? Through the grace of mercy, I'm just going to be Tony right now. I don't feel like explaining. And that's how I believe the Savior, you know, he's like, yeah, they're calling me something that was made up in 1611 and transliterated that didn't have to be transliterated. Keep my name the same. I was telling you all the situation where when I was working for a company, a corporate company, 15 years, and we would have to bring in some of the buyers and things from Asia. And so they would come and they were speaking, you know, Japanese at the time. I was working, this particular vendor was Japanese. And I don't know Japanese, but I know my name. So they had an interpreter, right? And so one of the guys, you know, I would tell him what we're doing and what he's, you know, can expect. And then he was translating that to the other guy. And so he was saying, I don't want to offend anybody by trying to speak Japanese, but when he was saying whatever he could say, arigato, Tom Washington. So he was saying all the words, but when he got to my name, he had to say what? All over the world. My name is Tom Washington. If you call me something else, I might not answer you. Or I just might, or I correct you. Look at this revelation as him saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to know me at a deeper level. You're getting to know me personally. Right? So therefore, when you're in relationship, and that's what really this is all about, it's about relationship. When you're in a relationship, there are layers. Who knows about that? You uncover layers. If you spend 2 months with somebody, that's not enough time to get some layers. You need to spend, I mean, listen, if you spend 2 weeks with the person and say, we get married, I would beg to say, I think you need to put in a little bit more time. Because there are layers there. But then again, some people have had the two-week romance. How long were you and Mom? So he got through the layers. Him and my mom, after 5 months, they was like, let's do this. So you felt like you got through enough layers.
No.
Exactly. So by the grace, you know, it takes some time to get through the layers. You know, so it's like, hey, let's not rush all this. Let's take some time. So in the relationship that we have with God, that we have with Yahweh, through the name of Yeshua, when he gave us that revelation, it's like, hey, these years that I've spent knowing him one way, now he has opened up his true name to me, and now a whole treasure load of things have opened up. Now a lot of things make sense. Now I understand so much, because his name, Yeshua, means he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. And now I know that his name meant everything that he said he was coming to do. Therefore, I have to be able to see my salvation. I have to be able to see my being rescued. I have to be able to see my deliverance, and I find it in his name. And when I find it in his name, I see it in my life. It's a deeper relationship, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend a bunch of time just being religious. Why? I'm going to go to church because grandma went to church. No, don't go to church because grandma went to church. Go to church because you got a relationship with the Most High God. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves torn because, you know, we've been doing things over and over again. And I'm reminded of this story. There was a lady who used to fix a rump roast. And she would, it was like a crown, what do you call that? It's a roast that has a bone in. Yeah. So she would cut it off and throw it away and bake it, you know. And so she had been doing that for years. And so mother's like, why are you doing that? Well, because that's the way you did it. She said, girl, the only reason I did that because the oven that I used was so small, I couldn't get the whole roast inside. But she did it because she didn't. She was just used to what? Yeah, there was no reason to it. But I don't want to spend time being in a salvation where I'm just doing things and not understanding why I'm doing things. And I find myself making mistakes over and over again because I don't have the understanding. I want to know who I'm serving. I want to know why I'm serving. I want to know what he does. I want to know what he's going to do. Keep on showing me. Keep on revealing the layers to me. And so that's what happens when we... When he calls us to change, he brings things to our attention. So it says, listen, we are his workmanship, created in Mashiach Yeshua unto good works. That means that's an expectation. He expects good works out of us. Why? Because he made us. He was like, don't go looking raggedy for me. You're my child. Don't be representing me raggedy. That's what I tell my daughter. Listen, when you go to school, you got to represent the Washingtons. Washingtons get A's and B's, right? That's what my dad told me. That's what we, we are Washington. That's what he said. So there was an expectation that as a Washington, I had to what? Represent. You are all you out there, yell out your name. You have to represent your family. But guess what? You've been transformed. So now your father, come on. So now call out your family name. And he has an expectation of your life. You know what? He has a standard of excellence. Why? Because he's excellent. He's excellent. So we've been created through him, in him, unto good works, which Yahweh hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them, okay? And so these are the things that are at stake, because we're talking about building and rebuilding. We've been on this subject, and I'm not going to review everything. I'm just going to give you the list. And these are the things that we have been talking about. This is what we've been saying. We've been saying, what is at stake? Why do I need to get this right? Because the kingdom is at stake. My life is at stake, my health, my family, my church, my future, my destiny, my purpose, my knowledge foundation, my mind, thinking, skills, character, integrity, finances are all at stake. So that's why I got to get this thing right. Because I'm building on a foundation where I want all these things to work. It's not good enough if you just have one or two of these things working. He's created us that all these things should be working. All these things should be working in your favor. You shouldn't have your church life together and your family is raggedy. He wants you to have your family together, right? You can't say, oh, yeah, you know, I got my knowledge foundation, but you don't know how to be healthy. The doctor tell you that you got diabetes. And you say, and high blood pressure. And you say, I'm living in faith. I'm still fry these pork chops. And I'm still drinking my Faygo. That's foolishness. He wants you to take care of this temple. Why you got to fry all the time? Broil that stuff. Why you got to cook all the stuff out of your vegetables? Sometimes let them be crispy. Right, Sandrina? Right, I mean, you can't say, he's trying to tell you, you got to take care of this stuff. So you can't say, yeah, I got my knowledge foundation together, but every day you eating ham hock and pig feet, bacon and chitlins. Oh, help us. And I saw Taco Bell. They had a fried chicken shell or fried egg shell or something like that. Stop eating that stuff. Juice some stuff. Take some fresh vegetables and put them in a blender and drink. He created that. Come on now. Fresh. Vibrant. You a believer talking about, I can't eat that. You better get your life. All these things should be in order. He's created us to have knowledge on all these things, and he wants us to use him as the foundation. Okay, so we were talking about how the children of Israel, they came back and they were rebuilding. When they came back to their city, everything was burnt down. The walls were burnt down. The gates were burnt down. So we find in the word in Nehemiah that they started rebuilding all those things. So let's look at the board right now and let's talk about all the different areas they rebuilt. And the beautiful thing about it is that when they created all these different things, all these different gates, and then they took the gates and they named the gates because it had meaning. And so when we look at this, there's a completeness about what we are talking about. We see aspects of our salvation in the rebuilding of the gates. Because if you can take something that was burnt down and build it up back again beautiful, that's wonderful. And so there's meaning in that. So let's go see the gates right quick. So what do we have? We had the sheep gate. We talked about that. The sheep gate was the only gate that was anointed by the high priest. And that meant that there was only one way. There was only one way. The lamb that was slain for our sins, Yeshua, that was the only one way. There's people say, there's a lot of different ways. No, there's only one way. Yeshua said, I am the door. So we found that. The fish gate had a tendency to be talking about just releasing to him souls, right? He says, stop everything, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. They said, hey, but, you know, we were out there. We've already done fishing and whatever. He said, if you follow me, I'll show you how to do all the things that you need to do. And not only will you do them, you will do them better. You will do them well. You will do them beyond expectation. And so they were like, hey, we went out there fishing, but we didn't catch anything. He says, go over there. They said, we've already been over there. He said, go over there and let down your nets. So they said, we've been there, but nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it. And sure enough, they caught more fish than they could ever imagine. Why toil? A lot of times we're toiling all night and for months and for years with stuff because we're trying to do it our way. But he's like, listen, if you do it my way, if you follow my directions, you'll get it right the first time. Who wants to get it right the first time? I mean, why do I got to do it 10 and 20 and 30 times? looking for a different outcome each time, and it's the same outcome. If you do the same thing over and over again, that's called insanity. Expecting a different result. We want victory. The old gate, we talked about the old gate. The old gate was the old way. Was the tried and true ancient way. And a lot of times we're in this Christianity and I want something new. Come on, y'all. There's nothing new. The same word was valid then is valid now. Tell your neighbor, ain't nothing new. This is tried and true. The new stuff is diuretics. I mean, Dianetics. Well, it's all the same to me. Dianetics, diuretics. That's a man who has decided that he's going to create some kind of new religion, some new belief. And if those of you who do not know what Dianetics is, that is Scientology. They felt that there's this new way of doing it. And if you really get, this is the thing. Get this. There are layers to that. And when you get down to the base layers, they're talking about some man in outer space who... See, all the people higher up know that. He had a spaceship and he went and so you're doing the stuff that this spaceship guy created a religion. And look how popular it is. Celebrity. The word of Yahweh says, straight is the gate. And narrow is the way, but broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Wide. Scientology, that's wide. And I'm so thankful. Listen, I want to know truth. I am so thankful for Leah Remini of revealing that truth of really what's going on up in that sign. Come on, y'all. We want to know truth. And truth, the old gate is the old way. It's the original. This word has been around, oh my God, for all these years. And it's still producing. It's still delivering. It's still powerful. It's still cutting. It's still showing us. And then we got the Valley Gate, right? And so the Valley Gate talked about, let's go there real quickly. Valley Gate talked about the things in our life that we go through. You're going to go through some stuff. We have high points, the mountainous points, and we have low points, which is what? The valley points, right? And so who's been at the high points in their life? Beautiful high points. Who's had some valleys? Man, it seems like more people have valleys than the mountains. When you're in the mountains, you prepare. Because you know there's going to be some low points. But the beauty is, in Yahweh, even though you may seemingly look like you're going through a valley thing, He elevates you through that. He supports you. He lifts you up through that. And then you look back and say, wow, I got through that? Yeah, by the grace of Yahweh, I got through that. And we don't pay attention to that enough. The Valley Gate was talked about. So let's go to Psalms, the 84th chapter, the first verse. And let's go to the fifth verse. Psalms 84:5. And it says, blessed is the man, somebody say woman, whose strength is in thee. Listen, I don't have any strength outside of Yahweh. I need him. And I don't care how many muscles that you put on in the gym. I ain't talking about nobody or nothing in particular. What I'm saying is, I don't care how strong you get. You know? Even some people like, well, I'm strong. I've been through some stuff. Well, it cannot match when you've been in his strength. Right? I need him. See, if it was all about you, you'd be able to do everything. But it's not about you. It is about the strength that we have when we trust in him, when we believe in him. I need him every day. I need him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I need his strength. My strength is whack. I can only do so much. But blessed is the man or woman whose strength is in who? In whose heart are the ways of what? Them. And the sixth verse says what? Who passing through the valley. Baca was a dry place. It was a thirsty place. And I see so many thirsty people out here. Seriously. I see so many thirsty people in the world. They're searching for stuff. They're looking for stuff. They're trying stuff out. They can't seem to get any satisfaction. They can't seem to get any direction. But the people of God, even though they pass through the valley of Baca, Yahweh makes it a well. Come on. Even the dry places, when you walk in them, become a well. The rain also is filled, what? With the pools, seven. And I love this part. They go, who goes? The believer. Tell your neighbor, we go. From strength to strength. That means every time we walk, we get stronger. Is stronger in him. Every one of them in Zion. That's us. Tell your neighbor that's us. Appeareth before Yahweh. We peereth before God. And so that's what that valley gate was speaking of, is that we're going to go through stuff, but we're going to overcome. And then, show me the next gate. And then I'll go to the next one today. The next one was the dung gate. Say dung gate. Dung gate. And we find that in Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah 3. So in Nehemiah, he described all these different gates. And he says, moreover, the valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa. They built it and set up the doors and the locks thereof and the bars therefore thereof and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. What was the dung gate? That's where the people put their trash out. That's where they got rid of the mess. So after you've been through the valley, you need to get rid of the mess. You need to get rid of the what? And so we went here. Philippians. We're holding on to stuff we ain't got no business holding on to. We're doing stuff that we had done before, but he delivered us. We need to let that go. We have a way of thinking that is stinking. It's not working. Because we have a new mindset. So we went to Philippians and found a dude who, he was killing Christians. But God transformed him. He was doing all kinds of dirty, filthy, crazy stuff, but God changed him. And if God can change this man, he was a murderer. Yet Yahweh found something in him redeemable. Oh my God. So if he found something redeemable in a murderer, surely there's something in you. Come on. Surely. And so we went to Philippians, the third chapter. This was one of the most wonderful conversions of all time. And I'm about to wind this up, this part here. But it says, Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me? I had a list. I had some accomplishments that I wanted to do. I had some things that I wanted to
I thought that was, you know, I could see myself doing. I got a bucket list.
My question is this, though. Why do you have to jump out of a plane? There are people that got out on a bucket list. They want to jump out of a plane. I mean, when he raptures me up and takes me up, I'll see the view. I don't need to. But we got stuff that we want to do. Why do we want to do all that stuff? Oh, well, you know, dude, you about to turn 50. You know, you should celebrate by jumping out of a plane. I don't even want to be up in a regular plane. Why would I jump out of one? I'm sorry, guys. I was trying to. Where do we get this stuff from? We want to climb. I was watching a thing where these dudes want to climb Mount Everest. And they were losing fingers and toes and legs and noses because they wanted to say that they climbed Mount Everest. But dude, is it worth it? And then going up, you see bodies of people who they couldn't get to and they had to leave them up there. Just to be able to say, I gained. I did this. I want to do the things that God wants me to do. I want to do the things that he wants. I want to achieve the accomplishments that he has set out for me. And when I do his stuff, he's going to add everything that I need to me. If I do his stuff first. But if I try to go up Mount Everest, I might not make it down. If I jump out of a plane, the dude whose back I'm strapped to, right? I mean, your faith is in the dude who you strapped to. I'm trusting God. No. Does that dude have God? Because he's the one that's in control. He's pulling the chute. He's the one that rolled that thing up. What if he didn't roll that thing up right? You'll find out. But Paul was saying, listen, there was stuff I wanted to do that I thought were gain to me. But now that I think about it, he says, I count it loss for a relationship with Mashiach, with Yeshua. He was like, I can't believe I wanted to do those things. I wanted to kill believers, but that's a loss. For me to have a relationship is everything, right? My idea of success was one thing, but he turned that thing around. A relationship with him was success. We have ideas of success, but are we really succeeding? Get that in your spirit, because you're about to embark upon a year. Do you want to do the things that he wants and he has for you, or you want to do your bogus stuff that you're thinking with your mind, but you're not acknowledging him in all things? He says, in some of the stuff, acknowledge him? No. He says, in all things. Eighth verse says what? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. It's the knowing. It's the knowing more about my Savior. It's knowing what plan he has for my life. It's knowing what vision he has for my life. And me tapping into that through prayer and the word and him revealing it to me. And I'm like, yes. And the success that I've been seeking all these years, I finally attain it. For the excellency of the knowledge of Mashiach Yeshua, my Adonai, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Do you have a dung gate heart where you're willing to get rid of the stuff that doesn't belong there? And you're seeking the things that he has set before you that are excellent, that are most high, that are victorious, that are triumphant. So this is the thing. You need to know what's dung and what's not. What's anointed and what's dung. That's strong language, Pastor Tom. I didn't say it, it's in the Word. He counseled them as dung. And then the ninth verse says what? I want to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness. Oh, come on. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Mashiach. The righteousness which is of Yahweh by faith. 10th verse. I want that. And the 10th verse says what? That I may. See, do you come to church to know him, or you come to church to say, yeah, I was there? In the Greek, know is the word genosko. Say genosko. And genosko means it's a knowing that comes from having a relationship. Oh, yeah, I know Pastor Tom. I have people come to me. Yeah, I know Tom Washington. And I'm like, I don't know them. Because my definition of knowing is that I need to have a relationship. They may know my name, but they don't know me. But we can't just say, oh, I know God. God is like, dude, I don't know you. I mean, because that's why the word says he's going to say to some, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. God is going to say, yes, at the throne judgment, he's going to say, listen, they said, well, you know, I went to church. I knew you. I saw you every Sunday. Well, almost. He's going to say, you had your own form of righteousness. You had your own brand of salvation. You even told people, I have my own spirituality. Anybody tell you that? I just have my own way. He's saying, no, you need to follow my way. Don't you can't create your own way. And even Paul was saying, I want to know him. I want to know him in all these different ways. I want to know him in his righteousness. I want to know him in the power of the cross. I want to know him. And the knowing that I'm talking about is a knowing that comes from having a relationship with him. I know more about him than I ever knew before, and I want to know more. And so you have to have that heart. Do you really want to know? Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, do you really want to know? Don't get offended. Somebody's getting mad. Why are you doing that neighbor stuff? Because we're in this together. I'm so glad that I'm not alone in this. I got other folks that's going through the same stuff I'm going through. It's a knowing that comes from having a relationship to know by the learning of. And let's go back to that verse, that 10th verse, one more time. And it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That means I know him and I have a relationship, and not just the good stuff. I want to know what he went through. I mean, my God, when Yeshua was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he talked to his boys. He said, hey, dude, I need y'all to pray with me for an hour. I need you guys to be with me for an hour to pray, because he was about to face that cross and it was about to go down. And he said, come on, y'all, pray with me. And so these are supposed to be his people that's supposed to support. Guess what? They went to sleep. He was like, wait a minute. Could y'all not stay awake for? I mean, I don't ask you to do much. Yeshua, like, I'm the one that's been doing all these miracles and stuff. I've been doing all the work. Now I'm asking you to do something. I even asked you to cast out the demons and the little boy, and y'all couldn't do it because you were doubting. And so he said, how much do I have to suffer? Meaning Yeshua was like, do I have to do everything? I'm trying to empower these people. And I believe he's looking down on us today saying, listen, I'm giving them all this power. Do I have, come on. Come on, y'all. Can we come up a little bit higher? I want to know how he got through stuff. I want to know, yeah, the power of his resurrection, but I want to know the sufferings too. Like when he was feeling that stuff, how can I get through too? Because some of y'all have gone through the valley. Been through the valley of Baca, but have you learned anything from the Baca experience? I've had a Baca experience. My God, we all have Baca experience. But guess what? I'm standing here today. I don't have time to go forward, but listen, you're coming up on a week this week. There's some decisions that you're going to have to make. There's some stuff that you're going to have to do, no matter how small you think it is. Decisions not only for you, decisions for your family, decisions for your kids, decisions about job. And we have an advocate with the Father that we can go to him for all these things. We want his direction, but he's pointing things out. He's saying, listen, I'm going to help you, but you're going to have to let this go. I'm going to assist you, but you're going to have to think differently. I'm going to give you direction, but you're going to have to stop and slow down and stop doing your own thing and listen. We get down in prayer and we start asking for stuff. And then once we get to the aman, we jump up and we walk away. He's saying, after you pray, I need you to meditate and listen and hear the answers to the things. It's relationship. You asking for a bunch of stuff, but you don't want to sit and listen to what the answers are. And he's impressing upon me by the Holy Spirit that there's going to be some of us that are going to have some things presented to them this week. He's saying, trust him. He's saying, listen to him. He's saying, acknowledge him. No, you don't always acknowledge him. Stop and listen. We don't like quiet. But that's when Yahweh does his best work. When it's quiet and we can hear him speaking. And you can hear him leading us and guiding us. So bow your head. Father, thank you for truth. Our help, our assistance, our forward motion comes from knowing your truth. Because in your truth, we find answers, we see the light. So right now, Father, lead us and guide us, direct us. That is our desire. All these attributes of the gates that we're looking at, Father, are opening our eyes. We're pulling back the layers and we're seeing ourselves. Some things we didn't want to see. But we trust you that you revealed them to us for a reason. We want to see what you see. We want to see the vision and the hope that you have for us. Open our eyes, Father. Open our ears that we can listen. That we can receive what you have for us. And we give you the glory for this. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Keep your head bowed. One of the beautiful things about when we have these moments is that there's a clarity for some to say, hey, listen, I hear what the word is saying. These are not my words, Pastor Tom's words. These are the words from the word. And there are decisions that can be made in this atmosphere, meaning that, hey, you know, if we're talking about salvation, maybe there are some that don't have that. They're saying, I want that today. This knowing that comes from a relationship, this genosko, this true knowing, not just surface knowing, but genosko kind of knowing. I want that kind of relationship with the Savior, and I don't believe that I have it. If you want that today, it is available to you, and the heads are bowed. All you have to do is raise your hand and say, you know what, I want that. I want to achieve that relationship. And that comes from just simply raising your hand and say, I want it, I want it. Hallelujah. Second call maybe, hey, have relationship, but I drifted away. I'm not as close as I used to be. I'm not connected the way I know I need to be connected. And what you're saying, from what the word is saying, is that I need a close relationship. I don't believe I have that, and I want that today. If you want that, you drifted away. It's called restoration. He can restore you back. If you want that, just raise your hand today and we can receive restoration, restoration, restoration. That's one. To be restored. Hallelujah. See, the enemy doesn't want us to have those things. In the Hebrew, there is no word for coincidence. Doesn't exist. What happens is divine appointment. So you're not here by accident. You're not receiving him speaking to you in whatever of these calls. It's intentional. Hallelujah. So everybody's head is bowed. If you raised your hand for any of those that you want restoration or you want salvation, I'm going to come meet you halfway. We can pray right here. We can receive what we need today. Heads are bowed. The enemy will say, no. This is an intentional move of you to say, I want the things of him. And if you raise your hand for any of those reasons, let's pray right now. Let's get what we need right now today. Hallelujah. Hey. Sister here, say, Father, they want restoration.